Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women. This is Magic's Candy O'Terry. The woman you are about to meet has spent most of her adult life helping people die with grace and with dignity. Her name is Donna Authors, and she is the author of the book, A Sacred Walk. She's also a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, and she brings a lifetime of experience to hospice organizations nationwide, to grief counselors, to social workers, and to clergy. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Candy, for having me.
Let's start with your story, Donna. When you were growing up, you seemed to be surrounded by death, and you were terrified of it.
Yes, I was, and most of my adult life, actually. My father was killed in the war when I was 2 years old, and it just got worse from there. I had so many deaths in my family. I had a sister who died on my fifth birthday, relatives who were killed in automobile accidents with drunk drivers. We even had a couple of suicides. So death terrified me.
Was there a defining moment then for you, Donna, when you knew that being a caregiver for the dying would be your life's work?
Well, I never thought about it because I was so frightened of death and dying until my grandmother got sick. And her death was the first natural, shall we say, death in our family. She was 82 years old and finally diagnosed with cancer. And I'll never forget the day the phone rang and she said, "Donna, I need to talk to you about my children." Well, I had such a lump in my throat because she was talking about my mother and my aunts and uncles who would not talk about dying. And she needed to express her feelings and talk to me, her first granddaughter, about those feelings so I could share them with the rest of the family after she passed away. It was an amazing experience. I took a week off work and spent an entire week listening to her, asking her questions. I remember her looking at me and leaning across the chair on our back porch. And she said, "Now you have to get over this fear of dying because, sweetheart, dying is part of life. You too will be where I am someday. It's not a day for a tragedy. Celebrate the love we shared and the opportunity we had to help each other get through it."
Donna, you are a huge believer in the benefits of hospice care, and many people don't even know they qualify for this kind of care.
Absolutely. There's a chapter in my book, which I commend to people to read. It's called Hospice is for the Living. And it's funny, I mentioned my grandmother. Come to think of it, that's the first time I heard of hospice. I was reading the newspaper one weekend, and there was an article about the hospice in Pittsburgh, which is where she was living. And she ended up being in a hospice for 3 weeks until she passed away. And my eyes were opened. Getting to talk to the hospice nurses and the other caregivers that were available to our family was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I learned, especially when my mother was diagnosed with a terminal illness, that hospice is for the living.
If you're just joining us, this is Magic 106.7's award-winning program, Exceptional Women. And in the spotlight, Donna Authors. She has spent her adult life helping people take that final journey into a peaceful death. And her book is called A Sacred Walk. A Sacred Walk, Donna, is also a guide for caregivers and families. It includes 7 common fears of dying and how to address them. Can you tell our listeners what they are?
I think it's important that caregivers really understand the complex emotion of fear of dying, because it's not just a fear of dying, it's fear of so many, many things. And in that same chapter, Hospice is for the Living, I talk about those fears which were shared with me by hospice workers over the year and how to alleviate your own fear and the fear of your loved one. Caregivers are supposed to help bring peace to their loved ones. And if you haven't really come to terms with the reality of your own mortality and you still have fears surrounding death and the dying process, you need to educate yourself and become familiar with what those fears are. They are actually the fear of dying itself, the fear of what comes next, the fear of the process of dying. And that's where hospice can be such a big help, because they will walk you through every step and let you know what will happen as the body starts to separate itself from this world. There's another fear that people have, and that's the fear of the loss of their loved ones, the fear of people's reactions to them as their condition worsens. Many, many fears that you need to familiarize yourself with and come to terms with.
In your book, you also say that death will always bring sadness, but it doesn't have to be characterized by pain and sorrow. It can be accompanied by faith and grace and love, and you call this good grief.
Yes, I do, and I was fortunate enough to be able to experience that with my mom. She was a very positive personality, and when the doctor told her there was no more they could do for her, she faced it with such great courage and said, "I refuse to live with death in my face or hanging over my head. I'm not dead yet. God isn't through using me until I take my last breath. So until that happens, we're not going to sit around and cry. We're going to live. We're going to enjoy life. We're going to make memories every single day and take one day at a time." What an inspiration she was.
Caregivers are also so focused on the patient or their loved one, and they forget to take care of themselves. You talk a lot about this in your book.
Yes, and one of the reasons I do is because when you become sick and you have to be taken care of, you feel like a burden. Many people at least do feel like a burden. And the worst thing that can be in their face every day is a caregiver who lets himself run down, who is tired and worried and refuses to accept help for themselves. There is one important thing that caregivers have to remember. They need care too. They have to allow themselves to receive care. They have to be able to vent their feelings and their emotions, not with their loved one because they're trying to protect them, but with a trusted friend. And it is so important to take care of yourself, to eat right, to exercise, so you have the strength and stamina to approach your caregiving duties with grace.
You also talk about grieving the loss of a dream, and you say that that's really the saddest loss of all for someone who's dying.
Grieving the loss of a dream can mean perhaps losing a relationship, maybe not to a physical death. Maybe somebody's gone through and is going through a traumatic divorce at this time. I had one of my readers write to me and tell me that the book helped her immeasurably because she was going through the divorce, and all the principles of caring for yourself and really walking through that whole grieving process applies to the many, many losses we have in life. So I think grieving the loss of a dream is something that we all need to do and do it well.
You know, I've had chats with people who have actually been very close to someone and perhaps in the hospital room or in hospice with a parent or a best friend, and death is very near. And they tell me stories about how they went outside to use the bathroom, they went down the hall to get a cup of coffee, and that's when their loved one left the world.
Yes. I've heard that, and I really was educated by the many, many wonderful hospice nurses who tell me that people can somehow control the time that they pass. Some people will wait until a loved one arrives to say their final goodbyes or to hear their voice for the last time, even if they cannot speak. Others will wait until their loved ones leave. Nobody can do this for you. You have to do it by yourself.
I'm thinking that you must have so many stories that have really stayed in your heart of that very moment when someone passes away.
I was at my grandmother's bedside in the hospice when she passed away, and it was like watching a water running out of a spigot. She was trying to stay alive because my Uncle Mario hadn't yet arrived, and her breathing was so labored. And as soon as he walked into the room, we said, "Mom, Grandma, he's here." And he exchanged a few words with her, and it was like somebody was turning that faucet off. The water was running slower and slower. Her breathing became calmer and calmer, and then finally it just stopped. It was so peaceful, and it was very similar to the experience I had when my own mother passed away. The hospice was at our home. She waited until, I think, my sister-in-law had to leave for work, and my brother, myself, and my husband were the only ones with her, and we had a chance to say our final goodbyes and do something that is very important. It was give her permission to go. We spoke to her and told her that it was okay that she leave because we know that it was time for her to get her reward for a life well lived and that we would see her again.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to say to somebody.
She responded amazingly because, again, she was breathing very heavily. And then as soon as we told her that we would be all right, we would remember all the lessons she taught us. We loved her, and we were going to be together with harmony and peace and no discord for the rest of our life. She was able to just slip away in front of our very eyes, and it was absolutely beautiful. Nothing to be feared.
In the spotlight, Donna authors. She has spent her entire adult life helping people take that final journey into a peaceful death. Her book is called A Sacred Walk, and you can get it at asacredwalk.com. You have 9 from the heart answers your dying loved one would like everyone to know. I found these to be so helpful. What are they?
One of the ones I like to talk about is the don't ask me to talk about my condition. There are do's and there are don'ts. And one of the things that I found very disconcerting and verified what people had told me was that you are so tired of talking to your doctors and your family and technicians that work with you as you go through your treatments that when somebody comes over to you and says, how are you? It no longer has the same meaning as it does when we greet people normally on the street. When they know that you are facing this illness, they come up to you and say, no, how are you really? Tell me their deepest medical secrets is what they appear to be saying to you. And all you wanted to do was take a walk down the street or go to the grocery store, and you didn't want to confront people in those situations. So that's one of the things I suggest. Don't make people talk. If they want to talk, they will bring up the subject, but probably pick the right time and let them pick the right time. The other one is not asking somebody who is recently diagnosed with an illness how to help. They are in the middle of a crisis and they can't identify or articulate the areas in which they might need help. So instead of asking what they need, just do what comes naturally. Bring a meal. I have a wonderful story from a woman that I met last year. Her name is Barbara, and I actually wrote about her in the book. She said that when she was going through chemotherapy and full body radiation, she was so weak. She could hardly get out of bed. And one day, there was a knock at the door. She struggled to get to the door, opened it, and she found a woman standing there with a bucket and mop and rags and cleaning supplies. And she blinked and said, what are you doing? And the woman said, I'm here to clean your toilet. She said, I was so humiliated and embarrassed because I had a husband and 2 sons, and Lord knows I needed my bathrooms cleaned, but I was too weak. And she came every week and did that menial chore for me. And I want to tell you, this woman who has survived is just the most giving person because she knows what it means. So just do what you think needs to be done and not just ask what you can do and not follow through.
One of the things on this list also is help alleviate my fears.
Well, this relates to what I was saying earlier about really understanding the different fears of death and dying. And people might not talk about it openly. That's a subject we rarely talk about. But if you have the privilege of being one-on-one with somebody who is facing a life-threatening illness, they may not be at the end of their life. They may be somebody like me who was diagnosed and is going through treatment and will survive and live many, many years. But when they're going through it, they're so frightened, but they don't know how to articulate it. If you can spend quality time with them, try to open them up. Say something like, if I were you, I would be afraid. Can you tell me what it feels like? Would you like to share with me what's going on in your mind? And give them an opportunity to express the things that are on their mind. And you might be able to help them relieve some of that stress and anxiety.
Also, help me maintain my dignity and my control.
Oh, this is a good one. This is one I was taught so many times, but also experienced it through my personal experience of caring with my mom. She wanted to be in control. Everybody does. And when you are nearing the end of your life, you're losing control of so many things. You haven't died yet, but you aren't able to work. You aren't able to do the things around the house that you normally would do. You're experiencing many, many losses. So as long as we can have people continue to do what they're able to do, it really makes them feel like they haven't lost it all yet. They want to feel like their life still has value. So I would suggest that even though you want to do everything to help them, that you allow them to do what they're able to do and follow their lead.
If you're just joining us, the voice you're hearing is Donna Authors. She's in the spotlight this morning on Exceptional Women. Good morning. This is Candy O'Terry. Her book is called A Sacred Walk. You can get it at asacredwalk.com. Couple of questions, Donna, that we ask every woman who sits where you are today. Who was your role model when you were growing up?
My mother and my grandmother. These two women experienced such hardship and tragedy in their life. I learned so much from them, how to cope, how to set goals. My grandparents came to this country from Italy. Grandma was pregnant with my mother when she was 18 years old and arrived at Ellis Island in 1920 on the 4th of July. And I can only imagine what it was like to come to a strange country to leave your family and friends behind as a young woman. Survived that and grew to call America home was just an inspiration to me. She was a tower of strength. And of course, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And my mother was everything to me and my brother and was the strength of our family after Grandma passed away.
You've talked a lot about strength. You're talking about your grandmother and your mom. So the question for you is, what is your greatest strength?
One of the things I'm thinking of, Candy, is the fact that I have a good memory. And I can remember the stories and the lessons and the wisdom that was passed on to me, not only by these women in my own family, but by all of the wonderful, wonderful, special women that I met over the years through my caregiving. They taught me so much about life. They taught me what's important in life. And wisdom is great, but it takes too long to get it. And one of the other chapters in my book addresses this. It's called Living Libraries, where I talk about the importance of capitalizing on the wisdom of people around us. You know, in our transient society, families are separated. You know, we move across the country for our jobs and various reasons, and we're separated from the wisdom of our aunts and uncles and grandparents. But I challenge people to find a living library in your life. Someone at your work or somebody at church, volunteering at nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and being able to sit with somebody who has lived, who has gone through so much in their life. They have so much to teach us. That will help them feel that they're still contributing, they're still giving, and not just sitting and wasting away.
Donna, you talked about your lessons learned and your greatest strength. I always like to ask women on our show, what is that one weakness you always feel you need to work on?
I know one of the things that I struggle with is my own self-confidence. And it's hard to believe because I've written the book and I can talk so fluently about things that have happened in my life. But I feel so inadequate sometimes.
And maybe that is in the face of large challenges and large issues, particularly in your life's work where you're trying to be on your game all the time.
That could be. I get impatient with injustice. I get impatient with people who are not compassionate, are not caring. I get impatient with people who really don't listen. And this is one of the most important things as a caregiver, that you must be a good listener. You must become a student of the art of listening and questioning techniques if you are to be a caregiver, an effective caregiver. And when your loved one is ready to talk, you need to be ready to listen, even if it's a topic that you would rather avoid. And I get very impatient with people who don't allow their loved ones to talk and express themselves.
What role has your faith played in your life?
The faith is a very, very big part of my life. I don't know how I could come to terms with the death and dying and all of the sorrow that we experience in this world if I didn't believe there was something more, something beyond this life. I've cared for people who were believers in something more and those who were not, and those who had faith in something, who believed there was something more. Certainly got through all of the different crises in life much easier than somebody who did not.
Are you afraid to die anymore?
No, that is the one thing that I am not afraid to die, because I believe so strongly that there is a life after death, and I am not afraid. I, like other people, would be afraid of the dying process. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have pain. But that's one of the beautiful parts of hospice, that there are ways to keep you comfortable, keep you pain-free. My mom had ovarian cancer, one of the worst types of cancer, from what I understand, a lot of pain. And she did not have pain that couldn't be managed until the last week of her life. And even then, hospice was able to manage that. And it was because of the fact that we were open to receiving care and not closed, and were able to talk openly not only about our fears, but about our need for help.
The book is called A Sacred Walk, Dispelling the Fear of Death and Caring for the Dying. At the end of the day, you've done such noble work. What matters most to you?
From the standpoint of writing the book, is that people have hope, that people aren't going to approach life or their deaths with fear. That people understand how to set priorities and put life in perspective. That I practice having a forgiving heart. There's nothing worse than keeping anger and resentment and bitterness tied up in your heart. It has to be released. You have to let it go and just take one day at a time.
If you could reach out to someone right now who is caring for a loved one, perhaps someone who is close to death, what would that be?
I would tell them to let it go. to abandon themselves into God's hands. I would refer them to an experience I had when I was given a wonderful gift called the Prayer of Abandonment. It's a chapter in my book, and it was the most freeing, wonderful experience that I had right after I learned that my mother had cancer. And I just really was so terribly, terribly upset and confused and didn't know what to do. And that prayer helped put everything in perspective. I think people would really, really benefit from reading it.
The last question that I'll ask you is, very often our radio station is heard in hospitals and in hospice. We play continuous soft rock. We're that station to ease your mind and relax you. There's a chance that someone who is dying right now is about to take that sacred walk. And so I would ask you, what would you say to them?
I would say, God bless you. God loves you. Believe. Know that there is something more. There's something wonderful waiting for you. Faith is a choice. You can choose to believe.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Candy. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
That's Donna Authors. To order her book, just go to asacredwalk.com. And whether you're a caregiver or someone facing death, the book is invaluable. It reflects a lifetime of experience from this week's exceptional woman. If you know someone who's beaten the odds in the toughest of times, someone who gives back to her community in spades, we'd love to know her story. Just go to magic1067.com, click on Exceptional Women. This is Magic's Candy O'Terry. Join Gay Vernon and me every Sunday morning at this time for another edition of Exceptional Women, radio portraits of women who will inspire you.